This is episode 83 of Our Modern Heritage, Strategies for Navigating Your Family Culture. I'm your host, Jody Chafee. In this episode, I was able to have a wonderful conversation with Kara Rector. She's a homeschool mom that I met at the LDSHE Homeschool Conference here in Virginia. And she taught this awesome class about boundaries and what it means to have true boundaries versus false boundaries. And so we went into really great detail on what that means and how having true boundaries allows you to grow and cultivate security and confidence. And it's so important. And if you liked my conversation with Sarah Gilman last week, then you're going to love this. And if you didn't listen to that one yet, then go back and listen to it as well, because boundaries are so important and they are infused into like everything in our lives. Enjoy this episode. Go check out the show notes at homeandfamilyculture.com and follow me on Instagram and Facebook at Family Culture Podcast. I'm excited to have on the show today, Kara Rector. She is a mother of five wonderful daughters, and she has been guiding the homeschool efforts of her family since 2010. And she herself is a product of homeschooling off and on from her elementary through high school years. She has a great love for music and vocal performance, and she has an associate's degree in liberal arts from Southern Virginia University. And I met Kara at the homeschool conference for the Latter-day Saint Home Educators, LDSHE, and she gave this awesome presentation about boundaries that I was just like immediately blown away by the things that she shared and just super excited about what she shared, because we need to clarify our boundaries. And I felt like Kara taught this class in a really clear and concise way that made me feel like I could understand boundaries and apply them. And so I'm really excited to have this conversation, and welcome, Kara.
Thank you so much for having me.
My whole message about family culture and wanting to be intentional about the way that we are raising our families, we need to understand what that looks like, what it means to have those deliberate decisions and actions in place and beliefs and values in place so that we're always acting on those values, you know? And I feel like a lot of times, because we aren't clear about our boundaries, we often let our values kind of slip or question them or things like that without even realizing it. You know what I mean? Because we don't understand that the things that we allow to like slide by, or the things that we say yes to because we're obligated to, or things like that, that it's actually compromising our values. And so that's something that it's part of this message, how to be deliberate, how to be intentional, is to be able to know what it's okay to say no to, what is okay to say yes to, because it's things that speak to your values and speak to the things that you want your children to adopt, like our values and beliefs.
And when it comes to family culture, I think one of the most powerful things in us exercising good, healthy, firm boundaries is we want to teach our kids how to do that. I want my daughters, like we have five daughters, I want my daughters to grow up and understand that a no is a no, period. A no isn't a no until your friend says, but I'm not going to be your friend anymore. A no isn't a no until somebody says, well, you don't love me enough. Like a no needs to be a no, but we also need to really, I think, unpack our emotional reasoning behind that no. Like, are we saying no to something just because we're scared of it, which may not be something we need to say no to? Are we saying no to something because it truly does compromise our values? And so often, kind of to the point that you were just saying, we put our value on making other people around us happy, sometimes higher on our priority list than what our really values really are and what is really healthy for us. So I think my message in boundaries is the core of really good, healthy boundaries is all about self-care. And it's not about confrontation and conflict, even though when you start setting boundaries and saying no and putting some restrictions on what you'll do for other people, people do tend to get angry. And that's a hard road to walk through, but it is doable. You can walk through that road.
Well, it's interesting even how much boundaries translate into every aspect of our lives. It's really in everything. It's really important that we get these things clear so that in all of those different aspects of our lives, we know how to establish those things and know that it's protecting ourselves, taking care of ourselves, and teaching our children those important skills too. And so in your class, you talked a lot about this difference between true values or true boundaries and false boundaries. So I'm excited to go into that, because I realized from your class how often I establish false boundaries just because I'm not really actually willing to address the real boundary that I want to set. You know, it's almost like avoidance, right? So go into that some more and tell us what it means to have like these false boundaries.
I came up after I taught my class, actually, I came up with a really good kind of visual for what differentiates a true boundary and a false boundary. And the vernacular that's been used beforehand is often like healthy boundary or unhealthy boundary. I take it that extra step to say false boundary because it ultimately is harming us. And a boundary, what we're supposed to be doing with a boundary is helping to help us grow and thrive. So if you take a plant and the plant needs sun and it needs water and it needs soil to survive, but you're like, oh, the plant also needs to be protected from hail and wind and bugs and other things. So I'm going to take this plant and I'm going to focus everything on protecting it from those harmful things. And I'm going to put it in a case. Like I'm just going to shut it into a case. And by doing that, I'm now protecting it from bugs and I'm protecting it from hail and I'm protecting it. But it's not true protection because ultimately it causes the plant to wither. And that's kind of like us. Like we need connection. We need vulnerability. And vulnerability is one of the scariest things. And so often we create circumstances where we're playing into a false idea of protection and a false boundary because we're like, hey, I need to be protected because it's scary to feel vulnerable. But ultimately, we're ending up cutting off relationships and we're cutting ourselves off from that vital nutrients that we need to grow. We're cutting ourselves off from our proverbial, you know, sun and water and soil because we're so afraid of bugs and the hail and the winds and all of that. And we do need to protect ourselves from those harsh and difficult things, but cutting ourselves off from vulnerability is the opposite of healthy. That's why I take it that step to say a true boundary will be scary. A true boundary will be vulnerable and a true boundary will require you to be brave. A false boundary is much easier. It's like taking that plant and putting it into like a metal case or inside of a jar or something, because those are easy. It's so much easier to be cynical. It's so much easier to be angry. It's so much easier to be unforgiving. And it's so much easier to just cut people off or to resent. I think in our normal, given that there aren't extreme abuses or extreme issues going on, our normal issue is that when we don't really hold boundaries well for ourselves, we end up resenting the people that we're not holding those boundaries for. And then that resentment starts breeding some of these other things that just feel so protective, but really aren't even addressing the real issue.
Real issue. Yeah. No, I love that because like, you know, when you were describing that with the plant and how it's like, it's a false boundary because it's trying to shield from those things, but it's destructive. And so I think a lot of times, like you were saying, like when we create resentment, we blame other people, we aren't, you know, establishing clear, true boundaries. We set up these false boundaries to protect ourselves, but it's destructive. It's a disease. It's like we almost have this, it's like you said, it breeds this other demon inside us that actually creates that disconnect from people, from love, from.
And it really breeds, and I feel like the disease that it really breeds inside of us, or at least for me and a lot of people that I know and people that I've studied with, like a victim mentality. We have that black and white, I'm being persecuted, I'm the pure persecutor. And the hard truth, I think, of life is that we straddle that fence. Like there are times my kids totally think I'm their persecutor. That's just what they think. There are times where I feel like someone else is my persecutor, but then I breed that retaliation. And then I feel like that retaliation is I'm setting a boundary because I'm saying, no, you can't treat me that way. But really I'm just retaliating because they hurt me. And that's not a boundary and that's not healthy. And that's not okay. The other thing about what is a true boundary is almost always, except in cases of abuse, where somebody is truly seeing you as an object that they can hurt or they're trying to get something from you, regardless of what you say to them, which I almost feel like is a totally different topic than general personal, interpersonal relationships. But the boundaries are, the action of setting a boundary is 99% what we choose to do. And it doesn't, the other misconception we have is that a boundary has, it's like a parent-child, you do this, now there's a consequence. But that really doesn't, again, that breeds, and we end up falling into that victim-persecutor mentality. Now, granted, in a parent-child relationship, there are consequences, and that's fine. But as far as interpersonal adult relationships, it really is not appropriate, and it's quite controlling for me to say, you know, you were saying mean things to me in a text message. Now you need to do something. That my boundary is for you to do something. Because ultimately we have the responsibility of agency, and we have a responsibility of taking care of ourselves. So in a situation, and this is one, it was funny, I worked with a sister who was being just attacked via text message. So that I bring that up on purpose because this worked and she doesn't mind me sharing it. And she was like, I just feel like she needs to do something different. Like, I need to ignore her. I need to do this until she does something different. And I was like, okay, you're going to be doing that forever. Like, to set the appropriate boundary is to state, and I think things need to be stated clear because language is important, and say, I don't like how you're talking to me. If you continue, I am going to block your number, or I am going to stop answering you, or whatever what would be appropriate in that situation. And she said she was amazing. It was amazing how much more it helped her. And because, of course, the person backlashed in anger, and so she just blocked her from her phone. And this was a friend that she had had since high school, but this friend just had gotten into this. She had decided that this woman attacked her in some way or treated her poorly. And she was creating the false boundary of retaliation. So she was retaliating. And then she was expecting, I don't know what she was expecting from my friend, the one who ultimately, you know, blocked her from her phone. But she felt like it was vulnerable. It was vulnerable to say, I'm not going to allow you to treat me this way anymore. And it was vulnerable to say, wow, that, because it feels so contrary to what we're taught, that I'm actually going to block her from calling me. That was scary, and it was vulnerable. But once she did it, she said she felt so empowered, and she felt so much peace that she has the right and responsibility to control how people, or how she's going to react to people treating her. We can't, right. We do to an extent teach people how to treat us. But it also, a lot of that comes from their background so much more than it has anything else to do with us. We can control how we react.
Right. So basically what I hear you saying is, like, if people are abusive to us, it's almost like you're tolerating it if you don't just say, I don't like what you're doing, stop, or I will block you, or I will leave you, or, you know, whatever it is. It's like you're tolerating that abuse by just allowing yourself to be either be a victim or creating the image in your mind that they're a monster, or even, you know, things like that. Anytime you're blaming them or being the victim, that you're actually almost tolerating that and allowing yourself to be abused. Whereas if you just state and set a clear boundary that I won't tolerate this behavior, then you're able to cut it off. And,
right. And you're able to recognize your responsibility in your interactions with people. You're not responsible for the abuse. That's an abuser's lie. The abuser will tell you that it's your fault somehow. You're being abused somehow in some way. You are not responsible for that. But what you are responsible for is how you're going to react to it and how you are going to manage the action part of how you're going to handle this. And that's really, really scary. It almost feels more safe and more comfortable to just ignore things or to start retaliating back, or however different people will process it differently, but to take your accountability into your own hands and say, okay, I'm definitely not accountable for the hurt that this person is doing to me, is aiming at me. But I am accountable for taking care of myself. And taking care of myself is not really anybody else's responsibility as much as it is mine. And to take that ownership, and that's where the true boundaries really come into play. Because if you're like that plant and you just hide, you know, underneath some kind of protective, you know, shell or shield or whatever, you're really not taking responsibility for your own well-being. You're saying the rest of the world is just out to get me and I'm just going to stay in here. But being vulnerable and being out there says, I can take responsibility for my own well-being, and I can take responsibility for my actions in any given situation.
Yeah, no, I just think it's really fascinating, this whole, that the false boundary of, like, we're trying to protect ourselves and put ourselves in that box to, like, prevent vulnerability. But at the same time, it's also like sending out the message that we like tolerate certain things because we aren't willing to take responsibility for our well-being. We're just like, well, I'll tolerate being inside of a box because, you know, whatever, it protects us from those dangers, but it's not healthy in the long run. It's not like they're going to survive that. And so I thought it was interesting, you know, that you listed things like that. I thought, this is so interesting that, you know, being cynical, taking a vengeance, having a me versus them, blaming mentality, or creating contention, holding grudges, focusing on outward appearances and judging, that those were all things that were creating a false barrier, because those are the kinds of things that aren't literally establishing, like you said, it's just protection. It's not actually saying, I will not allow these things.
Right. And it's not even true protection, because it's harmful to you. I don't know if you've ever heard the analogy, but like when you have a lot of those kind of behaviors, it's like taking poison and expecting someone else to hurt for it, because it feels protective. You feel like, ooh, I'm going to be safe in here. You're really not safe in here. Where you're safer is out in a vulnerable world where you are taking accountability for your actions in your relationships. Just saying no, like right now, I have a baby asleep. It totally works for me to be doing a podcast interview. It does not work for me to be babysitting somebody else's child. So if someone were to say, oh, I really need this. We have an emergency came up. I really need you to watch my child. And then my sense of obligation kicks in and I'm like, well, I'll have to wake up my daughter and it'll be hard. It's okay to say, no, I'm sorry, it doesn't work for me today. And that's vulnerable and scary, but it's okay to say, no, that doesn't work for me. You know, ask me again sometime.
Well, I think too that when you say that, or you start, if you are clear in your boundaries, but then you say things like, oh, they're going to judge me, or they're going to not like me, you're actually still not clear on your boundary. You're still like inside you anyways. And yes, you're putting the other person in what, you know, in the anatomy of peace, they describe this thing as, you know, putting people in the box, where then you start justifying your behaviors towards them and feeling like, well, they're judging me and they're not going to like me anymore. And so then I'm not going to like them, you know, but at the same time, it's not like they ever said that or that they were going to treat you like that. But to justify yourself setting that boundary, it's not actually being real to yourself. You have to like set the boundary and believe in it and then say, I'm not responsible for how they react to that. I'll do my best, but I'm not going to judge them.
Right. And one of the things that I put is like the number one important true boundary is to give yourself grace, like give yourself forgiveness and to give yourself that loving grace, because having that come from an internal place doesn't have anything to do with the other person. If I'm focused on my grace, giving myself grace, then I'm not going to be worried about what she's thinking about.
But I like that you said that in your description of saying, I can't do it today, maybe another time, or suggesting somebody else that you know is available.
Right.
That's cool.
Right. So I had a problem with a friend of mine who is a single mom. And so I always felt obligated to try and help her because we're a married couple. We, you know, parent together. We make a lot more money than she does. But so often she was doing a lot of her emergency was becoming my emergency. And at first I was okay with that, but eventually it was not working for me. I started giving more strict parameters because that's what took care of me. Because in her crazy world, and she has a lot of crazy things going on, and I love her to death, she can't always think ahead. Her lack of planning is not my emergency. Yeah. And that's okay. And that I can give myself grace and say, you know, she's got this whole list of issues going on in her life, but I also have a list of issues going on in my life and responsibilities. And I would never think ill of her saying no if I needed something, because I'm aware of her list of issues. If she wants to be aware of my list of, you know, responsibilities, that's fine. But if not, it's okay for me to say no. It's okay to say that doesn't work for me.
Well, I think that it's important that having those boundaries, that in the end, you're showing her that you love her because you're empowering her still. You know what I mean? I think that if you are clear on your boundaries, then it's amazing when you set those boundaries, how resourceful we get when the boundaries are clear. And I think that when you are clear with her, you're setting those boundaries and clarifying them, then she's going to be like, the boundary is a set. I need to be resourceful in that area.
Responsible. And she takes that on, you know, herself and then finds another way.
Because if she's always relying on you, then she's, that becomes her default. And then she's not being as resourceful as maybe she could be.
Right. Who wants a friend? Well, I don't want a friend that's telling me yes, and who's then kind of gritting their teeth and resenting me. We don't want to build friendships where we're saying yes all the time, but then gritting our teeth in anger and resentment later. Again, that's a false relationship right there. We're saying, yes. But then secretly we're kind of, and it's going to come out at some point. Emotions never go away. They just come out differently at different times.
Yeah.
And that is not building a true and healthy friendship. So saying yes all the time so your friends will like you is also falls into that false boundary category, because you want to be the person everyone can rely on, except that underneath it, you're frustrated and you're angry and you're feeling guilty and you're resenting these friends. And then you don't want to do things for them and you're just not comfortable, and it just breeds a lot of negativity.
Yeah. So always saying yes so that people will like you is a false barrier, because you're trying to protect yourself and shield yourself from being unliked. And so it's like you're not being vulnerable to be clear with these people and saying, I love you and these are my boundaries, so I can be authentic and real with you and we can have a real true friendship, rather than me always saying yes and then going home and griping about you to my husband or whoever, and really resenting this relationship, and then in the end getting burned out, and maybe it even in the end explodes. And I say, I'm done. I don't even want to be your friend anymore. And then you're alone again.
One of the things, another thing that Brené Brown says that I really like, is it's always better to have a hard conversation now than to have resentment later. And I loved that you said, because it's so true. If we are trying, because again, it goes back to, we all really need vulnerability and we need connection. We just need connection to thrive. Trying to get that connection by always being agreeable and always saying yes is not authentic, and we won't grow. Like, you just won't grow when we're not being authentic and when we're not being vulnerable. It just doesn't work.
So boundaries is the way to get the sunshine and soil and water and protect yourself from the harsh elements and bugs and things.
And understand that those elements are going to come. You're going to get bugs. You're going to deal with, you know, sleet and hail, and you're going to deal with high winds, but you're not a victim to it. And it's ownership of how you are personally going to respond to it.
Well, I like your example about the text message one, because it was like, you can't tell other people what to do. You can't, like you said, retaliate, because they have their agency. But what you can do is set clearer boundaries. Look, if you keep texting me this, I'm just going to block you. They said, text it again, and then you block them. And so it's like, that's setting your clear boundaries that you won't tolerate. Those behaviors are being treated like that. And so you have to establish those things for yourself. And I think that it can translate into how we parent our kids. But I think that when we reestablish clear boundaries with them, you know, I don't like when my kids scream at me or climb all over me and things, you know? And so I'm just like, look, if you keep doing that, I'm going to walk out of the room.
Which is a much more powerful lesson than if you keep doing that, you're going to go sit in timeout. Because oftentimes what kids really want is more autonomy and more control over their environment. And if they feel like that's forever being taken away because mom's making me go sit in a corner, it ends. I mean, there are circumstances where that's appropriate, and I understand that. But showing them, it's also modeling to them that they can also take responsibility for how they're treated. So when their friend, so you do that, and the beautiful part is that translates into them as a lesson about when their friend on the playground isn't treating them nice, they know what to do. They know that they can say, wow, I really don't like it that you're telling me I can't be in your club unless I do 75 push-ups. I don't like that. So if that's your rule, I'm just going to go play with somebody else. And it helps them thrive, and it helps them grow, and it helps them be confident that they can do hard things and that they can be authentic, and that they don't have to set up that I'll do whatever people want me to do so that they like me.
Yeah. And I feel like it's a natural consequence.
It is. It's a totally natural consequence. And it shows them that they can do that as well. The other thing that I think is important to remember with boundaries is that nobody has to understand them. That was a huge breakthrough for me, because I am kind of an obligator explainer. So if I said no to somebody, I would have to give them the whole backstory why I'm saying no.
you have to give them all the reasons. I'd want to make sure that they truly understood that I'm not just being picky and choosy. I'm not just wanting to go to a movie and not wanting to help you move. I felt like I had to give them the entire backstory. And it really was, I don't know, like a revelatory moment for me to realize that nobody needs to understand it. And that that's part of the vulnerability and part of the authenticity of it. Is that my boundaries are about me and they aren't about anybody else. And if it doesn't make sense to anybody else, why am I not going to go to the party with 300 people because I don't like crowds? They make me uncomfortable. Nobody needs to understand that.
Right. Well, they would just try to talk you out of it or come up with a reason out of it or why you shouldn't have that fear or that discomfort or whatever. That makes so much sense. That, and again, that I feel like is a false boundary. If you feel like you have to justify it, and then you're creating resentment that they don't understand you or that they are judging you and things. So,
and it's not giving, I know for me personally, that behavior was definitely not giving myself that grace and that compassion and understanding that I'm a person who is flawed, who is imperfect, who is also wonderful, that we're all such a mixed bag. And I was like, okay, if I'm going to do something that might upset somebody else, I have to explain all of the reasons because I can't upset somebody else.
Yeah, you don't have to do that. You're not obligated to them and their...
I'm not, exactly. And then it has really helped me in all of this growing to be a lot more respectful towards other people's boundaries and when other people say no.
Yeah. And you're learning how to not try to build meaning around somebody's no, you know, try not to be like, oh, they don't want to come to my party because they don't like me or, you know, or whatever. It's like, they just said no. Like I don't need an explanation.
Yeah. Right. There is, and that's okay. And that's not harmful to me whatsoever. It's just okay. It's just a word. It all requires so much bravery. And I feel like, you know, you're doing it right when there's vulnerability and bravery involved.
That's awesome. It also requires so much security, like personal security. I feel like when you feel like you have to justify or look for meaning why somebody else establishes a boundary, or if you just judging other people or retaliating, all those false boundaries things, is because you're insecure that you don't know how to establish those boundaries. But it's also that you don't have the confidence or the security in yourself and the grace that you want for yourself. That's part of being a human being, is that you are allowed to have that grace. And so you're questioning that worth, or you're questioning your confidence or whatever. And so I just think that when you have, you know, when you can do that and establish those clear boundaries, be vulnerable, because vulnerability does require a sense of security in yourself to take that stance in who you are and what what your boundaries are. And so it really does require this sense of person, like your security and confidence that I can establish boundaries. I don't need to justify them. And when other people set boundaries, I don't need to look for justification because I'm secure. I'm secure in who I am and I have confidence in who I am and my abilities. And yeah, that's empowering.
So I feel like the journey for me has taken, I feel like that security is the goal. That's like where I want to get to. But I feel like security is a language and it's a behavior and it's a belief that we need to practice. And that does take, like, I feel like there is a point, like it is really good to say, you know, I can be vulnerable because I'm secure, is to say I'm insecure and I'm going to let myself be vulnerable because I want to learn security. So much of this, to give a little bit of a, like the hard background on why this is such a big topic for me, is somebody in my life who had a very big role in my life. I had always had this underlying feeling ever since I was very small that if I didn't make people around me happy, that they would leave me, that they wouldn't want anything to do with me. And I always was very insecure. And I started practicing vulnerability. I started practicing being braver. I confronted this person with some of these things about, these are the truths of who I am. And they made that person really unhappy. And that person totally cut me off. It was a funny moment. It was the most liberating thing for me to say, I wasn't making it up. And to go, wow, that insecurity didn't come from nowhere. It was valid. It was real. And I couldn't do anything to change it. It didn't matter how I tried to craft or sculpt information. It didn't matter saying apologizing didn't do anything. There was nothing I could do to mend this relationship. And it was a really, really empowering moment for me, oddly enough, to go, okay, I wasn't making it up and I also can't fix it. All of that is okay. I don't need to fix it. And then what's funny is that's a relationship that I've since decided to release because it's way too toxic to try to jump the hoops that this person requires. But they expected me to come back and still try to jump through the hoops. And I said, no, I wasn't going to do it anymore. So I released that relationship and I have so much peace, but I do feel like there is like this really hard place where you realize, okay, I want to set better boundaries. I want to have true boundaries. I want to own my space in the world. And I want to take responsibility for how I'm allowing myself to be treated, but it's scary, but I need to be secure. There is like this moment or this time frame of going, it's going to have to actually kind of be painful and scary and insecure and vulnerable so that I can learn to be secure and vulnerable at the same time.
Like, yes. Thank you for clarifying that. Thank you. Because you're right. It does take that passing through insecurity to get to where you want to be or to learn and to grow that capacity to have security and confidence.
And it's nice that being surrounded by people who we are connected with and we are authentic with will build that security so much more than any of the false people pleasing kind of stuff that we do to build connection that doesn't really build connection. Yeah. But having that vulnerability and building authentic connection really helps us build that security. And I feel like I'm still on that journey. Like I still struggle with insecurity. I could not have given the talk I gave at LBSHE a year ago. I wasn't at the point where I could do it. Now I'm able to say, I'm going to give this talk. I think it's decent information. The conference team thought it was decent information, and that's all that matters. But as far as how the message was received, to feel completely okay, whether it was received well or not, is a place that I've had to get to through practice.
Yeah, no, I mean, when I started this podcast, I had just read Deepak Chopra's 7 spiritual laws of success. And one of them is to let go of the outcome. And, you know, because so much we dwell on whether this is going to succeed or fail. And so I was just like, you know, I don't know. This might totally tank and everybody hates it, but there's obviously something I need to get out of it, or it could totally succeed. And that's scary too, because there's other responsibilities that come with success. But I was just like, you know what, whatever happens, succeed or fail, I need to just let go of the outcome and dive into it. And I never thought of that as like a boundary before, but, or to have that clear sense that it's okay. Like if you have a clear boundary and you state that and you have that and you're willing to get up and state that and be vulnerable, that being willing to say, I'm just going to do this, even if it offends people, I have to do this to learn what I need to learn out of this situation. Whether it's received well or not, I need to do this.
What you need for it to, the growth that you need from it is completely independent of the outcome.
And that's what's kept me going, because I'm like, well, I don't know how much or how well I'm received very much. I don't know. I have grown over the last 2.5-3 years of this process exponentially, to the point that my family, we've been establishing this lifestyle where we're like, we have to be authentic. If I can't sit here and talk about family culture and not live an authentic life, you know, and not be willing to be deliberate about our lifestyle or the things that I'm trying to instill, the values I'm trying to instill in my children. And so it's been such a blessing. I've just learned so much from it.
I feel like we are rewarded so much more than we're hurt. We're so afraid of the hurt, but we really are rewarded, and we really do grow and thrive so much more than we are hurt. But it takes that bravery to do it.
I want to help people to break free from things that aren't serving their families. And boundaries, like seriously, it's like it almost encompasses everything, because I've had interviews with people talking about, you know, talking to your children about their sexual health, or talking to your children about their emotional well-being or mental health, you know, all these different kinds of things, establishing trust. And it's like, you can't do those things unless you're willing to step into vulnerability and be clear and have these real conversations. Right. And so it's just like all of those things just require that to have that ability to let go of the outcome and be real. And so it's like, it's so important. It's so important.
I feel like all these great principles that they just really, they're like chain links. you know, in a whole, in a whole thing. And you really can't have one without the other. I don't think that you can really step into having true, honest, authentic boundary without so much of what you just said, with what you, you know, were just talking about. It really, really does all weave together.
Yeah.
We're all on the journey trying to figure it out.
Oh, Kara, this is so cool. So good. And I just wanted to go over the list one more time of what it means to have true boundaries, because you said that things like self-respect, compassion, accountability, focusing inward, forgiving, and being assertive and having patience and non-judgment are how we have true boundaries. And I feel like, I feel like we've covered a lot of that in what we've been saying. Do you have any other last thoughts about what that means to you and those, how those things all fit together into a true boundary?
That's kind of the most concise list I can come up with. And I just feel like when our boundaries are focused on those principles, you know, those ideas that they're like, it's funny to think of forgiveness as a boundary. But we can say, if somebody hurts me, I'm going to forgive them because I want to be healthy. That's where forgiveness is a boundary. It isn't about the other person. We forgive for our own health. And forgiving doesn't mean that whatever they did was okay. It just means that we are not going to continue to let it hurt us over and over and over again. So forgiveness is a really powerful boundary. And it's a boundary that needs to be practiced. And it might be harder on the big things, but if we work on the little things, if we can forgive the cashier that was rude to us, and if we can forgive our kids for yelling at us, and if we can forgive, you know, our husbands for forgetting our anniversaries or whatever, you know, might happen, or forgive ourselves for whatever it is. So forgiveness is such a powerful boundary. And to remember that your boundaries are about you and that they're focused inward. They're not focused on harming or requiring behavior of somebody else. I don't know how much of your audience is members of the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints, but one of the quotes that I like the most about agency is Elder Scott, and he says, the Lord himself wouldn't try to take away other people's agency, and so it's not appropriate for us to do it either. Mm-hmm. And so often we want to step over that line and take away someone else's agency to make us feel better, but it really is only about us and our agency. And what we're doing. Own your own agency. I think agency is a much bigger and broader and more powerful and more amazing gift than we give it credit for. We keep wanting to hand it away. And we don't really understand that we can control our thoughts and that we can control our actions and that we can control our emotions. And it takes practice, but we can do it.
I love everything about this. And I'm so thankful that you have brought this to my attention. You were willing to teach this class at LDSAG so that I can learn about it. And it's really transformative. I mean, I posted about this in like the course that I created, and I shared it with a friend of mine, and she was like, this is what is going to change my life, because her parents are controlling, and they blame her for situations when they get uncomfortable and things like that. And she's just like, this is it. This is the answer. In order to have a better relationship with my parents, I need to establish clear boundaries, and they need to accept responsibility. But there's only so much we can do about that. But
and they might not ever, but that doesn't negate your boundary.
And I really love this whole concept. Agency is something that I'm like, really, it's true. You're right. It's something that's really bigger and more powerful than what we understand, and how much we deprive people of their agency when we aren't allowing others to have their boundaries. Or, you know, being clear on our own boundaries. I mentioned that I had a discussion with the author of How to Raise an Adult. And this was like the big principle that she based it on, is that if you want to raise an adult, you have to allow your children their agency. They have got to be agents of their own life. And you can't constantly be stepping in and impeding their boundaries to protect them. That's a false boundary. You're not allowing them that freedom to grow. And so it's such an important principle. It's really in everything. Thank you so much, Kara. I'm so thankful. Thank you so much for being here on the show. How can we connect with you?
So I'm actually building a website that's geared towards helping people through crafting our stories, that we experience life based on the stories we tell. I have a website called Sculpt Your Story. There's not a lot on there yet, but I'm getting that up and running, so you can find that.
Cool. Thanks so much, Kara. That was so awesome. And she's so genuine and sweet. You know, it's so funny because I was talking to her and I was thinking about how I have to reach out to some people in the LDSHE organization and how she's on the board of LDSHE. And I was like, oh, well, I haven't responded to these emails of them reaching out to me, asking for help, like volunteering if I want to volunteer for different aspects of the organization. And I thought, oh, you know what? I'll just talk to Kara about this. And then I was thinking about it, I realized that actually, if I talk to her, rather than just responding to those emails and being clear about what I can and cannot do, that's a false boundary. And that I'm just protecting myself from being vulnerable to talk to these people and tell them what I really feel and what I can really do. And going around that by doing like basically the path of least resistance by just talking to Kara, because I've got her here on the interview, and I can just say, oh, you know, these people asked me to volunteer. Well, this is blah, blah, blah. And it's like, that's only protecting me without clarifying what I really believe or what I can really do. And it's not allowing them to see that I'm being genuine and authentic, and I'm justifying my behaviors by saying, oh, well, I don't have to talk to them because I can just talk to Kara, whatever. You know, it's like, it's so interesting how much these things, these principles of boundaries, are really in every aspect of our lives, that if we don't confront the issues directly by taking on our own well-being, then that's a false boundary. And we're just trying to shield ourselves from taking that responsibility or shield ourselves from potential pain. But by accepting that responsibility of our own well-being, then we're actually allowing ourselves to grow, to be authentic, and establishing those clear boundaries. If I don't email those people back, or if I don't address it directly, then maybe they won't ask me to help again, or they won't feel like I'm a valuable resource to the organization if I'm not clear and authentic with them. And so that's really just hurting me, and I become that plant that's inside the box that begins to wither because I'm not using my talents and abilities to express what I feel. So that was interesting. So I have some emails to write, and I have some things to think about with all these boundaries and what it means to have true boundaries that allow me to get through my insecurities in order to grow. And if you haven't read anything by Brené Brown, I definitely recommend reading her books, because it talks about this and how important it is to be vulnerable, how important it is to just sit with the story that you are going through without judgment, but just allowing that space to have the story unfold for you. That's what I encourage, and that's what I am saying when I talk about these boundaries. Go check that out. Go and, you know, check out Kara's website. Sounds awesome to tell your story, but also recognizing how much our stories impact our beliefs, and then be able to ultimately let them go and be true to what we really believe about what our options are, about how we can shape our own well-being regardless of our stories, in spite of our stories, or because of the stories. So thank you so much for listening. Please like and rate and share and comment and go into iTunes and leave a rating and a review. I really appreciate listening. Make sure you go on to homeandfamilyculture.com to check out the show notes, and also opt in for our Friday strategy phone calls. I host these weekly phone calls in Zoom, and it's just 30 minutes where we talk about the episode and strategies that will allow you to use these principles in your family culture. So opt in for that on homeandfamilyculture.com, and you can join us in that conversation, and join me in the conversation on social media, Facebook and Instagram at Family Culture Podcast. And remember, Mother Teresa said that if you want to change the world, go home and love your family.